yesterday. Vess is supposed to be Mois and Nefesh. So why can't she go straight out with her request? Why is she inviting him to parties and all these things? So I just want to clarify the answer to that question. One of the important parts of the tikkun here is that they have to rely only on the Ribbono Shel Olam, not on Hishtadlus Bechlal. Esther also knew that. And then I later saw in my notes. So Kamash Malan, she was waiting for Simon as a Simon that it would be the Ribbono Shel Olam who would be delivering them without Hishtadlus. If she was making a request now, so maybe we could attribute it to her Hishtadlus. And it has to be clear that the issue is coming not as a result of Hishtadlus.
So the first bakasha was just...
Right, come to a party.
And what happens from there is already...
Now, there's an interesting diuk here. The first time Esther invites Achashverosh to the Suda, what does it say? Imal HaMelech Toiv in Hei Pasuk Dalet. Yavai Melech Oman Ayoim El Mishta Ashor Sisi Loi. Loi, Lashon Yochid, right? Now by the first Suda, and she wants to invite them to the second Suda, she says in Pasuk Ches, Yavai Melech Oman El Mishta Asher Selohem. Lashon Rabbi. So the simple pshat is very simple, that who was she addressing that first time? Achashverosh alone. So she says, lo. Here, both Achashverosh and Haman are present. She says, Lohem. But there's something more deeper. Something more deeper here. First of all, she wants to flatter Haman, you know, get him off guard. She wants to, you know, Kilo convey that she's a secret admirer of him. While making for them, you know, she's adding him to the covet. But also, we mentioned that there are 12 reasons in Chazal and Gemara why Esther Bechlal invited him to the Suda. One of those 12 has to do with the Pasuk, Lifnei Shever Goin. Before downfall comes pride. We find that the Nazis, the Yimach Shemam, at the peak of their conquest, they had control of most of Europe, and they had made inroads in Russia and North Africa, and a couple years later, it was all over. That was an example. Lifnei Shever Goin. The Ribbono Shel Olam makes sure that they have their maximum pride, and then he does away with them. So that's what Esther was hoping would happen with Haman, by getting him to the peak of that. Not only he has the second and the number two in the whole empire, but now the queen also is enamored with him, and notice she's not inviting Mordechai to these suddas. So all this was to play up Haman's, the drum up his ego, in order that that should eventually lead, you know, there's nothing left to go, nowhere left to go but down. That was
Haman knew her connection to Mordechai?
A little. Didn't matter, because no one knew that Esther was Jewish. Even Haman was kept in the dark that Esther was Jewish. He knew Mordechai was Jewish.
Right.
So Grada, what does it say now in Pasuk Tes? That Esther's ploy worked. He's in a high, and he's in a great mood. So Haman, everything's going great for you. Let's see how long that lasts. The Chirais Haman, Es Mordechai B'Shar HaMelech, V'loi Kom V'loi Zom Himenu, V'ayimali Haman Es Mordechai Chema. If we took a look at a stock market chart, the stock was doing very nicely, and then only goes out of business next day. That's what just happened to Haman here. Suddenly he's on cloud nine, and it all falls apart. Why is this one Jew, Mordechai? This is the quintessential Balgaiva. You see, everything has to be perfect, otherwise I can't be happy. One Jew more. Come on. One Jew. Hamin ha'eitz. Haman min ha'toyer minayin. Hamin ha'eitz. Asher tzivis. Hashem says, that one tree, you can have all of Gan Eden, Adam and Chava. That one tree you can't have.
Is Haman min ha'toyer minayin from that?
Yes.
What's the remez?
That's Hamin ha'eitz.
Hamin ha'eitz.
That I told you not to eat. You ate? The one thing you can't have, that you must have it. What's v'loy kam v'loy zami menu? See, here we see Mordechai goes one step beyond what we already saw previously. We already know how Mordechai was not kairel lo yichar v'lishtacha there. And he made it a point every time he saw Haman come through the Shaar HaTzer, he would position himself dafka there so that he wouldn't have to bow. This is a new thing Mordechai is doing to provoke Haman. That means he's not moving, he's not budging a muscle. You know, if two people meet in the street, usually there's some kind of acknowledgement, they lock eyes. And even if you don't like the other person, you lock eyes and just to show that, you know, you machshev him enough, at least to show you, I'm displeased with you. Mordechai didn't even do that. Haman came by. We know the famous Sefer Chaim V'Lajon in Nefesh Chaim. Einoid Mulvadoi, a person who comes to a Madrega that he can think there's no other kaychus, not witchcraft, not money, politics, everything else is battle. Only you, Hashem. So it's a school, if he can concentrate on that, it's a school and no harm will ever befall him in this world. It was like Rav Chaim V'Lajon, Nefesh Chaim. So that's what Mordechai was doing here, essentially. A couple thousand years earlier than Reb Chaim. He's saying, Haman, there is no you, there's no Gzeirah, there's only the Rabbeinu Shalom. So Haman is furious, and what's worse, is that he's going from extreme to extreme, from high to this low, and he's palpitating. He has to go home and recharge himself. He goes home and he calls Zeresh and his friends and he starts giving him a whole speech about he's the greatest. He has to start recharging his severely damaged ego to the point where he's giving a whole speech, the whole Haman autobiography from chapter 1 till the end. It's not finished written. He has yet to finish writing it, you understand? And the king promoted me, and I'm the greatest of the Tsarim. And more than that, the only one in the world who Queen Esther invited to this private banquet with the king is me. And tomorrow also I'm going to accompany the king. But this is one of the most startling lines you can ever find anywhere. V'chol ze einenu shoyveli. It's all worthless. Could you imagine such a thing? The second most powerful person in the world. Everything possible wants, as he himself just enumerated. Roy Bonov, wealth, whatever you want, prestige, power, he's got it all. One Jew is not kowtowing to him. And the whole Zayin and Shovel is a frightening line, Pashat. But that's what a Balgaiv is. His olam habzeh either has to be perfection, or it's worthless to him. You get this model car, and then you find out the next model has this feature, right? Cruise control, and then when you have it doesn't have it in the first one, and you have no longer any happiness in the first car. Unbelievable. That's the way it goes. Tzaddik has to be stopik b'mut and samech b'chelkai, and that's the true Derech to Simcha. So Zeresh gives him an Eitzah. Mordechai, that's what you worry about. Make a gallows 50 amas high. Tomorrow morning, first thing, you're going to go to the king. And you'll give him a whole speech about what a bad person Mordechai is. And you'll give him hung. Then you'll go, listen to this line, then you'll go to the Mishta Sameach. I mean, you'll get to see Mordechai Chasson swaying in the wind, his corpse going back and forth. You'll be able to see it from the window while you're there with your banquet. It'll be such a nachas, and you'll have more peace of mind that way. That's why we say Arura Zeresh Eishtim Afkhili, because we sound for this line. Yeah?
You said that he's going to tell the Melech a speech, why to hang. Right. The Lashon is Emor La Melech, like tell the king. Or like she held the.
No, obviously Homer's not going to give orders to the king. Push it.
So Imar, like,
it means you'll say something to the king by which will result in Vietlus Mordechai love. interesting. Look what it says. Yase eitz, let it be done. Meaning, Zeresh learned her lesson here. Haman had gotten to a point where now he's the master of the house, right? All based on Memuchan's speech back in the first barak. Zeresh now, she has to be subordinate. Yase eitz, I'm not telling you what to do, Haman. Let it be done, you know. But Haman does it anyway, and he takes the credit for himself as if Yase eitz, as if he was the one who did it. It just needs to be explained why is she advising him. Yase eitz gevoyah chamishim amba, 50 amas high. Where did that come from? So Zeresh was, like we said earlier, she was a genius. She figured out based on mathematics that from where he was going to be with the king, and based on where Haman's house was relative to that, so if you make it 50 amos high, it will be visible to the king. One of Zeresh's concerns was, you'll go tell Ahasuerus about hanging Mordecai. So maybe the king will hesitate, but if you can show him through the window, you see, on that gallows is where I'm going to hang Mordecai, so maybe the king will say, he'll be more convinced. Oh, you made it already? Okay, fine. Go for it. This was such a great idea, Zeresh. And you know what happened as a result of that great idea? You just hung your husband. At the right time later, we're going to have Harvaina going and telling that HaMelech, you see that gallows? Very good, Zeresh. You pinned it perfectly. Indeed, he was able to see it, the gallows. And she's, as a result, he's going to say, Haman, off with your head. Before we start the crucial sixth parak, we have to quote a most unbelievable medrash, beautiful medrash from Esther Rabbah. Haman makes his gallows, and it's late at night when he finishes. What does he do? He decides instead of going to sleep, he's going out, he's going to look for Mordecai. He's going to gloat over the fact, Mordecai, you only have a couple of hours left. Even if you know what plans I have in store for you, it's not going to help. So he's looking around for Mordecai. Where did he find Mordecai in the Beis Medrash? With 22,000 tinoikas shel Beis Rabin. Remember, this is the third day of continuous fasting. And they're learning Torah, they're Isaac and Tefillah and Shuvah, and what an amazing scene. Mamish Yom Kippur, Ar Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, Halavai, look like that. And Haman sees these 22,000 Yishik Kindlach and demands to know what's going on. And Mordechai fearlessly tells him, they're working to break your Gzerah. And Haman is so enraged that he orders chains to shackle all 22,000 children to their desks. And he says, tomorrow I'm going to slaughter these children first, Rachmana Litzlan, and then Mordechai, I'm going to deal with you. We mentioned earlier about how Haman has some kind of intuitive sense about that it was the children who was going to be his undoing. We're going to see right now just how right that was. Haman storms out of the Beis Medrash, and the word spreads very quickly what Haman has just said. All the mothers, as the Medrash says, all the mothers of all those children, they quickly come to the Beis Medrash with some hot food, and they tell the Kindlach, if you have to go and die al Kiddush Hashem, so be it, I accept the Gzeirah and Hashemayim, but you're so faint from fasting for 3 straight days, it could be that you'll end up dying, Chas v'Shalom, from starvation before you even have the opportunity to die al Kiddush Hashem. So he just takes some food, break it fast, and that way you'll have enough strength to last until the time you die al Kiddush Hashem. You hear what a Yiddish mother is capable of? Unbelievable. So it's sort of great pride. And, tell this to your wives, grab this medrash. But the kids answer is even better. They take this Sefer Torah. Remember those days, they didn't have printed Sfarim. They each had klofim of a Sefer Torah. Each had a klof of a Sefer Torah. So each one raised his Sefer Torah, and he swore by it, and in the name of his Rebbe, Mordechai, we will not eat or drink a thing. Kumfa keret, we want our souls to go to Shemayim with utmost purity, without even any food and drink. When the children said that, says the Medrash, their cries went straight up to the Kisei HaDin, upon which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been sitting all this time. And the Rabban Yishlam says, what is the sound of these? I hear sounds of sheep and goats. What is that? What is that sound? Interesting. Agav umek kol atzayin kenzayin. It was a remez that now is being masukin that the chaver of Shaul Shmuel Amelech tells us in this week's Haftarah. Shmuel was going to tell Shaul umek kol atzayin.
But that happened before. Yeah.
So who's on hand when Hashem says this? Moshe Rabbeinu. You'll recall. We said earlier that Eliyahu Navi, when he first got wind of the Gzeira, he went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe says, is there a tzaddik in that door who excels in tefillah? Yes, Mordechai. Okay, Eliyahu, you tell Mordechai to start a whole program, a vigorous program of tshuva and tefillah, and when the right time comes, I will intercede. That right time is right now. Moshe tells Rabbanu Shalom, those are not sheep and goats. Those are your Yiddish Kindlach, whom I say Russia tomorrow intends to slaughter like sheep and goats. When the Rabban Shalom heard that, he said, really? Bring me the Gzeira. They brought him the Gzeira. The Rabban Shalom tore it up at that point. Miyad! What happens? Balaylo hahu nodlosh nasamelach. Began the Yeshua. It's a beautiful, beautiful Medrash. And Bez Hashem tomorrow, we will we'll discuss the beginning of the sixth parak and how this the beginning of the Nes occurred.